Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Nice to be with you. We'll take this involvement any time we can while the game continues. It's so lovely to be able to chat with you on a Saturday afternoon and with Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, Mark Guy. My name is Tony Squires. Yes, the game does continue, albeit with a bit of a dark cloud around it as we speak. Who knows what will be happening this time next week? Or maybe one person does. Maybe Brent Reed. He's the kind of guy who does know exactly what will be happening next week. He joins us right here, right now. Reedy, g'day.
Well, I hate to disappoint you, Tone, but I don't know what's happening next week.
I'm hoping
we're still playing.
Yes, well, we do know the Warriors and the Raiders at 3 o'clock kickoff. What's happening before? What's going on? Obviously, the Warriors, they're kind of a massive story in all of this, aren't they?
Well, they are, aren't they? I mean, obviously, that meeting yesterday where they elected to stay, and there were genuine fears yesterday they may go home, and I'm not sure what that would have meant for rugby league. I imagine we would have pressed on with seven games a weekend, but obviously, they're going to go on. They've got four or five players in quarantine at the moment. They've flown over some reinforcements, and it might be they've got a lone player to keep this going, and that's a genuine possibility. I mean, they've already started contacting clubs asking them if they can have some players in the interim until at least those guys in quarantine are cleared. So we'll see how collegiate rugby league is. We'll see whether the clubs are willing to give up guys for them if that's what's necessary to keep the game going.
The decision for them to stay, now I know it's been backwards and forwards, and it's an incredibly difficult one given the stance from both nations, both New Zealand and Australia, and certainly with Australia closing its borders to any people who aren't Australian citizens. Now, family concerns then must be massive for those guys.
Well, the other issue is time. We don't know how long they'll be here. What if the season goes on for 3-4 months and they're forced to stay that long? So, look, the families might have to go into quarantine, but even when they get here, who knows how long they're going to have to stay? Because, you know, the Warriors may have to stay here for months at a time. So it's a really difficult situation. I can understand why some of those players genuinely consider going home. And it might be that some players go home, and maybe they rotate players, maybe four or five blokes go home and they loan some players to help them in the interim. If the comp keeps going, I mean, for a long period, maybe they've got to rotate players in and out to allow them to go home and see their families.
And is it right too, Reedy, that the NRL will have to help them or pay for them to stay and pay for the families to come over as well?
Mm. Well, I mean, they'd have to, wouldn't they? I mean, the interesting one's the loan system. If that ends up going ahead and they've got to borrow players, the NRL will surely have to pay those players if they're going to play for the Warriors, because they're not with their current clubs, and the Warriors probably can't afford to be shelling out more money on top of what they're already foregoing. So I imagine if they're loaning players, maybe the NRL's got to meet those players' wages while they're playing for the Warriors as well. So, you know, the costs just keep going up for the NRL. That's why they need to keep playing the games.
But they won't be able to bring their families over, really, because, as Tony said, they've closed the borders.
Well, that's true. Yeah, you're right.
So they won't be able to bring any family and friends over.
Nor will they be able to go home and come back,
unless they're Australian citizens. So whoever's here, I mean, is here, and that kind of looks like, you know, the roster that they're going to have to deal with, other than the fact that, you know, Cameron George has come out and said that potentially they could, you know, loan some players from other clubs, which then it starts getting super weird. But I guess, you know, it's
in the movie of the coronavirus season, they are the story, aren't they? The Warriors.
Yeah.
They lose their first six. All this is going on. Somehow they manage to rally and come through and win the premiership. Now there you've got yourself
Mighty Ducks movie there, Tony. Reed, just on these guys that are self-isolating now, or the Warriors players that have come over and they are quarantined, where are they? Are they obviously not with the team, but have they just been put in separate hotel rooms? I mean, do you have any more details about where these guys are being kept?
I don't, Gerd, but I assume they're just kept away from everyone in a hotel together, and they're just not allowed to go near anyone else. I mean, that's the...
MG, imagine your room service bill if you were putting a hotel room for like 14 days.
Wow.
How many club sandwiches could you eat, you reckon?
I reckon four a day. Four a day and probably two bottles of Sauv Blanc a day.
A few movies?
Yeah. A few movies, yeah.
We're with you. What about, we mentioned at the top of the other plans, and we'd heard from Peter Volandis as well, Reedy. Origin, where is that at the moment? Is the talk already that it's being pushed back to the end of a season if a season actually exists?
Well, I think they've got a whole lot of contingency plans in place. One would be that it gets pushed back to the end of the season if they've got to suspend the season at some point and push everything back. At the moment, it's where it is in the schedule, because at the moment we're playing football games. But if we've got to at some point shut down for a month, 6 weeks, which I think we all expect, or all resigned to that happening at some point, then it might be that Origin gets pushed right back to the end of the year, and we almost finish the year with it. I mean, that's feasible. That could happen. So they've got a whole lot of contingency plans, the NRL. There's a whole lot of... They've got a room at NRL headquarters where they're operating or working out all these... all the different ways the season could play out. And I'm sure Origin's in about three different positions at the moment. But right as we talked today, there's been no suspension. So Origin is where Origin is.
Reedy, when they did announce that on Thursday, I found that strange because I felt like of all the games, Origin, you want a crowd for that. So I found it strange they didn't automatically push that back till the end of the year, thinking that, okay, hopefully by then we can have... crowds by then, because you can play regular round games without a crowd, or at least, I mean, you don't want to, but you can. But surely Origin, you have to, if possible, you have to give it every chance to have a crowd there.
Well, you would think so, but I suppose you've got to give it every chance to play. I mean, it might be that maybe where, you know, they're allowed to play with crowds in September. So if you push it all the way back to the end of the year, you know, potentially you could play it in September with crowds and then come back to the competition October, November. So everything's uncertain. We don't know when. Peter Volandi said yesterday, Thursday, you know, we might middle, late September that we're allowed to play before crowds again. So, I mean, just say they get the call in September and they say, right, you can play before crowds again. Why not start with a bang and bring Origin back straight away?
Yep.
And Reedy,
that's a possibility.
And what about, Reedy, what have you made of the three games that have been played behind closed doors?
I was at the one on Thursday. It was interesting to be out. It was a bit strange. I watched both games last night. I actually didn't mind them, to be honest. You know, I thought the quality of the footy was really good.
Yep.
I thought the Dragons-Panthers game was a really quick game, and the Brisbane-Souths game was a good game. I actually didn't mind watching them without crowds. I mean, it's weird when you're there, Tone, right, because you hear everything. And you can hear it on the coverage too, but you actually hear more when you're at the game. And it's strange, but I quite enjoyed watching the games on the TV.
Reedy,
the Thursday night game wasn't a great game, let's be honest.
No.
Reedy, at the press conference on Thursday, you were coughing your guts up, actually, before the presser began, and then you tried to put everyone at ease, and you said, no, don't worry, I've had this for a while, I got it in Japan.
Have you self-isolated?
Well, I actually thought I'd been tested for coronavirus, but I rang my doctor the other day, and the doctor said, no, I only checked you for influenza A and B.
Gersey, anyway. Looked to you last night, mate.
Yeah, I know, yeah. No, thanks for this.
But that was 8 weeks ago. I'm fine now. Right? I'm beyond the isolation period. I'm good as gold.
You're good, mate.
I'm all right.
Can I just say, that is what is going on in Australia at the moment, is that I'm good as gold. That's why they've had to close Bondi Beach down, Brent Reed.
Well, Brent was at the beach. He was at Manly Beach yesterday telling me how hard it was to get a parking spot.
It's true. It was so busy. I got down there thinking, no one will be down here. And there's people everywhere. And I was thinking, what's going on in this country? We just don't. No one cares.
Sorry.
Lovely to talk to you, Reedy. All the best. We'll catch up soon. Reedy thinks the games look pretty good. MG said he was quite happy to watch what was going on over these first three games of round two behind closed doors. What do you think, the fans who are either usually there at the game or watching on TV and hearing and seeing a lot different product, what have your thoughts been on these first three rounds behind closed doors?
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Talking about coronavirus and the effect on the game. As we know, it's gone behind closed doors. Three games have already been played in round two. What did you make of them? Watching them on telly, of course, listening on the radio, I thought brilliant, because she's already the theatre of the mind there anyway. Marie has called 1-3-3-5-3. G'day, Marie.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Well, what do you think?
Look, I'm really happy. I grew up listening to the radio, or hovering around the radio listening to the game. So as long as the game's on, I'm happy.
Well, that is a good one to look forward to, isn't it? I think.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Good on you, Murray.
All right, Murray. Thank you. What about Adam? G'day, Adam.
Good.
Yeah, hey, mate. What do you think about it?
I actually really enjoyed it. It's like watching park football on the weekend when you watch the Yankees play around the local parks and stuff like that, and you can hear the sounds and the interaction between players and stuff like that. So I think it's fantastic.
Maybe some self-isolating time. We could all play at suburban grounds, turn up in our cars. You need to stay in your car. You turn your lights on, create a real environment.
Blow the horn, man. Try.
You get them onto something.
The other thought I had too is if we all turned up in appropriate colour, has that too. You know,
yeah.
70,000 people or 40,000 people sitting there in a blue and white and a black and a purple and maroon and, you know, all in your hazmat suit and your mask.
you reckon there's a market there, Adam? Which NRL club do you reckon is going to be the first one to come out with one of those suits with their team colours on it? You reckon there's a market for it?
All right, Adam.
Even somewhere like Leichhardt Oval, you'd think the ones with the houses and the roofs that you can see the game, you'd have 10 or 15 friends over because that's allowed. Well, and
would be charging a premium for those seats at the moment, wouldn't you? Be making some money if you own one of those balconies overlooking that game this afternoon, which will be a belter.
You'd have to get the tape measure out and measure the square meterage.
Although it's outdoors. So is it still outdoors? You have to have 4 square metres per person.
Well, I'm confused.
It is confusing.
How many lineal metres is that, Tony?
What about John? G'day, mate.
G'day. I reckon the service providers, the broadcasters, need to do a bit more in sledging. Like, you miss that vital element. And if you had, when the player comes off at half time and they're interviewing him and they go, now, who do you reckon threw the best sledge in that half? Because, you know, you look at cricket, it's boring until you get into stump cam. So they should have corner post cam and goal post cam where you can really hear the sledges, because Stinky Stewart, imagine if he taught Canberra players how to sledge like he used to. That would be amazing.
They're all gentlemen out there these days, John. You're not missing anything.
The microphones are turned up. I mean, it's only still the referee's mic and obviously the ones that are running up and down the sideline as well. But the noise is sensational.
The contact noises are great, aren't they?
So good.
We'll have every player being mic'd one day. Every player will have a little chip in their jersey, which will have a microphone, and we'll be able to hear everything they say on the rugby league field. Is that a good thing or a bad
thing? It's dangerous, though, because sitting sideline, you can always hear them swearing, even at their own teammates, when they're, you know, the halfback barking orders and there's, you know, Fs and other things thrown
around.
No
10-second delay at all. If it happens, it happens.
Who doesn't love a swear word? Like, really? We all love hearing, don't we? Like, it's all good. No, he said that.
my boss, MG, doesn't like a swear word.
That's true. Our boss here doesn't like him either, that much either.
Yeah, Joey, g'day.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Hey, Joey.
We're well. What do you think?
Mate, I just wanted to actually commend, you know, all players, you know, on the quality over the last couple of days. Because, look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I was the best rugby league player. But knowing myself, playing, you know, rep footy in the juniors, you know, playing in front of 1,000 people and going back to club footy in front of 50 people, you could feel the difference. These guys, to go from, you know, 10,000 minimum to 50,000 to nothing.
Yeah.
The quality that's being played is exceptional. I'm so proud of them. And I'm glad I'm a rugby league supporter, because they've just proven to me we've got the greatest game. How do these guys run out in front of no one and hit the way they're hitting and play? Like, mate, we're playing for competition points.
Joey Wilson.
Have we got a prize for the caller of the day? He's the caller of the day. That's enough said. That's beautiful.
That is. Thank you so much, Joey. There was a lot of intensity in those games of footy. We're going to look into some detail at some. Abby Carousel will join us. We'll talk about the Cowboys as well. We'll talk about that Dragons and the Penrith game. Sturlo joins us. There's so much to look forward to over the next hour and a half right here on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much to the good people at King G and also the good people at Celebrations. We're about to do an interview. Every time we do, it is thanks to Celebrations. We're closer than you think.
We are.
Thought you had a mate or something at Celebrations.
Well, I have. He's listening right now. He said, if you want any drinks, head over to Kingswood Park, a bit far from you, Davey Bruce there at kiss celebrations. He's you're a red man or a white man, Tone? You're a red, aren't you?
Yeah, a little bit. Except it makes me snore a little bit, you know, so that's not so happy for my wife.
Does he do deliveries, MG?
Yeah, of course he does.
Ooh.
As opposed to red or white? Red.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Davey Bruce, get the order ready, bro.
I like Pinot Noir, Davey.
Who?
Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir.
Not too heavy.
Is that a red or?
It's a red.
A red, huh?
Yeah, for a French composer.
Is that a red?
Well, isn't there a Pinot White as well? What's that one?
A Pinot Gris.
Pinot
Gris.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, there are all of those things. All right, before Appy Carousel was just about to join us in 1 minute, before we did, this was a weird old game of footy. There was a good intensity about it.
I loved it, Tony. Didn't you like it?
No, I didn't like it.
Did you enjoy that?
Well, look, as I said at the top, I didn't like the result as a Dragons supporter, but, you know, I'm putting an asterisk next to this season, so, you know, it's okay. It's okay. It doesn't hurt.
I thought it was the Dragons, 28-18, they led with about 15 to go, and I thought, okay, they're going to run away with this. But all of a sudden, and I think I said it in the call, Tedovano came back on and got the Panthers straightening up again with his running. He just, he reminds me, Tone, of Peter Kelly when he came to the Panthers in 88. He just bought this no-nonsense, give me the ball when no one else wanted the ball. And he'll just do the hard yards, and I think it's rubbing off on the young Panther forwards.
And one bloke who's brought a lot as well in terms of a combination now with the young halfback. We're talking about Appy Carousel, who joins us right here, right now. G'day, mate. I think it was him, or that might have been a Dalek from Doctor Who. I'm not sure which one it was. The phone's a bit weird there, Appy. We're just saying it was one of those games that was incredibly entertaining, but I thought that you guys were going to lead 40-0 at halftime. Suddenly you were behind, and then in the back end of the game managed to get the job done.
Yeah, roller coaster of a game, definitely. You know, once again, the boys showed a bit of resilience to come back there at the end, but definitely looking to, you know, obviously fill up those scrappy bits in the middle, for sure.
Appy, your performances in the last two rounds for your new club, or your old new club, the club you used to play for, and now you're back at, has been fantastic. You've taken a lot of pressure off Nathan Cleary, and I think that's the point that most people are looking at. His game has gone to a next level, and everyone's giving you the credit for it, and I think rightly so. In the off-season, mate, what did you concentrate on mostly?
Yeah, that was a hard one. I don't think there was any one thing that I sort of concentrated on, really. We got a pretty set game plan, and, you know, that was to go forward this year. And that's all I was trying to do, you know, try to keep it simple and, you know, simplify things for the boys. You know, rugby league is a simple game, you know, you go forward and you go hard, and, you know, hopefully you come out on top. And, you know, Nathan's, you know, obviously a fantastic player, so to see him, you know, come off the back of that is amazing.
It's been a notable shift, Appy. Obviously, Penrith over the last couple of years, I think they really struggled to find an identity with the football. They shifted from side to side. You know, they've had some guys on there that have always been great individuals, but, you know, attacking as a team, I think they lost their way. And, yeah, the opening two rounds from a Penrith supporter has been really exciting. And given the fact that you just said that simplicity seems to be the thing working for you guys, you got some middle forwards at the moment, and the development of Fisher Harris over the last 12 months. MG just spoke about Tedovano, Tarmow came into form at the back end of last year. You got Kickow on the edges. Pretty simple, eh? Just get the football, play with some momentum, and your ability to roll through the middle and take advantage of that momentum created, mate, it's a simple formula.
I couldn't agree with you more with the Penrith team, you know, in the last few years. Every time I played against them, you didn't know what you were going to get. They would flick it out and, you know, all these shifts and all, like you said. But, like I said, we got the right middles to sort of play that game plan through the middle of the ruck. And like you said as well, I was just lucky enough to be able to take advantage of, you know, some of these quick play the balls and momentum. So, we still have a long way to go, obviously. You know, there's patches in that game, but I'm actually really excited for this year. You know, I'm really happy to be back at Penrith.
We've enjoyed over the last 2 weeks watching this young kid, Stephen Crichton, come on the last week in his debut, I think 14 or 15 seconds, and he scores a try and got the match sealer again last night. It seems like he just brings a lot of energy when he comes on. He's a bit of a jack in the box. Tell us a bit more about him and about what he's like around the group.
Yeah, he's a jack in the box off the field as well. He literally just, every time he comes in, he's happy and he's loud. You know, he's one of those big clowns in the team, you know, that you need. He's always bringing that energy up. And, you know, like you said, every time he comes on that field, he brings that energy with him. You know, just his relationship with the boys on top of that, unbelievable. You know, he's so humble and down to earth, but he's also that clown that you need around the place. So you know, it's so good to have someone so young and, you know, so talented come into the team like that and really, you know, take effect when he comes on the field.
Appy, you mentioned somebody, how important it is to have somebody like that around a team. It's always important in terms of getting that the culture of your club and the community and the sense of fun. Is it even more important given the situation in the game right now, the kind of restrictions that are placed on you, the spending of time together, all of those things in a kind of unusual environment? Is it even more important to have that kind of strength within the group?
Oh, definitely. You know, I honestly could not stress that enough. You know, if we're stuck thinking about football all the time, you know, and then we aren't allowed to go home and, you know, not do much, you know, I think we'd go a bit crazy. You know, we pretty much do that anyway with the coronavirus not going on. So to be able to have, you know, the boys muck around and mate, we've got a team for the young kids, you know, and all they want to do is have fun. And, you know, I think that's the perfect formula as well. You can just be able to separate the off field from the on field and then make sure you gel it together, you know, before coming back on. You know, it's all happy days for us.
Saw that experience with you yesterday, Appy, you know, when you guys sort of dropped away in the middle part of that game. I mean, you were very vocal after the Dragons scored a try to put them in a really dominant position. You end up getting out of that situation. Obviously, your role as one of the senior players now is super important, but also the amount of time you're spending on the field. Last year with Manasseh, Manly, you'd play 40, 50 minutes. Last couple of weeks, it's been 80. It's been 80 again last night. What's the plan moving forward? There's no one on the bench there to really give you a break. Is it always to play 80 minutes?
Yeah, look, going forward, definitely. You know, I've always wanted to play 80 minutes and I've always believed I could. So to be able to be given the chance here has been awesome. You know, definitely want to be an 80-minute player. And, yeah, like you said with the leadership stuff, you know, just coming here, you know, you sort of get looked up to automatically. You know, you just get given the role and, you know, that's something that I'm actually loving and, you know, relishing in. So I'm going to continue to try and, you know, put my best foot forward and, you know, just try and simplify things for the boys. Like I said, there's a lot of information that gets put out there and, you know, a lot of calls from the coaches and everyone. So to be able to just, you know, simplify things, you know, it's probably my way to go.
I suppose in the current climate, Appy, it's a week-to-week proposition. Looking at the next game, Melbourne in Melbourne, have you guys discussed exactly how you're going to go about that? You're going to go and obviously going down the day of the game and flying back the day of the game, but is it training preparation? How different has it been in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, to be honest, not much has changed for us besides all the hand sanitizer getting around training. we still got to tackle each other and we shorten each other, so nothing much has changed, to be honest. You know, everyone's sort of keeping their heads on and, you know, as long as we're practicing good hygiene, you know, that's the best we can do at the moment. If we can just keep doing that, then, you know, we'll move forward from there.
I don't know whether it's just the fact that there's no crowds there, but everyone's been talking about the speed of the game, Appy, that there's not as much wrestle. I mean, you see it more than anyone. I mean, you're involved in 50 tackles a weekend and you're obviously there always at the ruck. Have you noticed a sort of pick up in speed around the ruck area?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was just the start of the year, my lungs haven't come to yet, or if the ruck was getting that quick, but it actually, yeah, it's quite fast. I experienced it yesterday, definitely in that Dragons game. You know, that was, I was chasing my tail there for a little bit, but I feel like the refs are, you know, letting a bit more go, and, you know, definitely that ruck speed's picking up in the middle.
I'm sure Panthers fans are glad that you're back there, but did Trent Barrett play a big part of you going back to Penrith, and tell us about your relationship with him?
Yeah, look, to be honest, he was a little part in me going back there. Probably the biggest was the conversation I had with Ivan Cleary. I went over to go and see him and, you know, all that stuff. He actually didn't talk about football. He wanted to know how my life was off the field and, you know, how I was going, because I was a bit of a maniac when I was there in 2015. Luckily, I got married and have two kids now, so I've calmed down a little bit. So, yeah, it was really nice to be able to have a conversation that wasn't about footy. And I think that's sort of what swayed me. You know, it was really different. And, yeah, obviously Trent being there and, you know, I really enjoyed my time that I was here the last time. So, and probably the biggest thing was the team. I knew they just had young guns coming through, you know. There's just so many good players here. And obviously, Nathan and James Fisher-Harris, I kept an eye on throughout the year. So those are probably the main reasons. And, just with Trent, you know, obviously I've played with him for the last 4 years and, you know, I couldn't speak highly of him, like more highly. So, yeah, and I'm loving it here at the moment.
Well, Appy Korosau, it's lovely to have a conversation with you. And in that mindset, certainly it's a massive benefit for the Penrith Panthers. Congratulations so far. Enjoy the rest of the season. Let's hope it can continue.
Thank you.
Good job, Appy.
See you, mate. Thank you so much. You listen to the Saturday Scrum on Triple M.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
All head, of course, towards kickoff. Warriors taking on the Raiders at Cbus Super Stadium. You'll hear it right here on Triple M. All right, time for a bit of this.
Triple M NRLs. Who does he play for?
Yes, MG, this is a tough one, this. Obviously, there's so many player movements during the off-season. Where have players landed? Who knows where they've landed? And what's more, the players we have, some of them may have only played one first-grade game in their entire career, so you may not have seen much of them or indeed anything. I know this is Ryan Girdler's favourite segment, yes, isn't it?
Well, I've been you embarrassed me last week, Tone, so I've been studying...
Have you?
The lower grades this week.
Yeah. Is that a really good use of your time? To be,
I've been in isolation.
You can't really study, can you?
There is no lower grades.
Well, I've just been, but I've just been having a look at the program.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And going over the, obviously the.
Yeah. Yes, because it had to be said last week, wasn't.
The Canterbury Cup.
You didn't cover yourself in glory, but that's okay.
I didn't. No,
Canterbury Cup this week.
Anyway, I studied last week's program.
Okay.
They get angry.
Well, you studied last week's program for today. Today.
Well, nobody's moved, changed clubs from last week to this week.
Got a problem with that?
No.
And I knew they weren't playing this week, so there's no use getting this week's program.
See?
Wow, someone's a bit angry.
Don't play angry. All right, kids. I'm going to start with you. You can get it out of the way.
Yes,
all right.
Come on,
I'm going to name the player. You name the club. Mitch Dunn.
Oh.
He's a cowboy?
Yes. Mawiki Fatuaika.
Fatuaika's a Titan.
Yes, indeed. Oh. Jamil Hopawati.
Jamil plays for the Broncos.
Yes. Sione Katoa.
Sione is a shark.
He is, and Peter Holler.
Holler plays for the Cowboys.
5 out of 5. But
they're first grade players in there.
You've chased the list.
Last week you got a hard 5. Yeah. It was
okay,
tough.
But I'll take 5. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah,
you're not supposed to complain when you get 100% good.
What you're supposed to say, they were really, really hard, but gee, I did well.
Yes, that's rare.
All right, MG, I'm looking at this 5, and there's one that was already in the last one, but I don't care.
Okay, I might get that wrong.
Yeah, you'll see. Okay, we start with Matt Eisenhuth.
He plays for the Tigers.
He does. Jamil Hopawati.
He plays for the Broncos.
Sebastian Chris.
Sebastian plays for the Warriors.
He plays for the Raiders. Reese Kennedy.
He plays for the Broncos.
Correct. Nice. And Tom Amone or Amone.
I call him Amone.
Do you?
He plays for the Cowboys.
He plays for the Rabbitohs. But 3 out of 5. Very, very good. All right, Emma. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Troy Dargan.
Oh, Troy Dargan is the Bunnies.
Correct. Anari Tuala.
He's now at the Knights.
You're good. Tom Eisenhuth.
Is at the Storm.
Correct. Jai Whitbread.
Titans.
Ooh. Yes. And to equal Gerds, Josh Curran.
Oh.
Come on, Rain Woman.
Time's up.
Is he at the Dragons?
Because I'm an excellent Parker. He's
how
not.
Many how many toothpicks?
He's the Warriors. He's at the Warriors. Ryan Gerdler, you have won.
I love that game. That's a great game. We play that again next week.
Well done, Em. You were good at this.
Yeah. To be fair, I think my 5 were the hardest.
Okay. I think you're right, because I got one that was already in the first list.
That was one of the three.
So you got 2 out of 5, really.
2 out of 5.
We love it. Thanks so much, MG.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Look, before we talk about the Dragons from their game last night, that defeat to Penrith, we do. We're going to go in a moment to the tape of that game we played just a moment ago, and who do they play for? Now, I think there might be some controversy here, Gerds. We know that Emma Lawrence, you managed to get 4 out of 5.
I think the one I got wrong was actually the easiest.
It's
the regular first grader that I failed to get.
Yeah. Get that soap ready, Gerds. Yeah.
So Ryan Girdler got the 5 out of 5 and was declared the winner. Let's just have a listen to how that played out, though. It's the Warriors. At the Warriors.
Yeah.
Did you actually? I didn't say you swore because you
lost.
I know the competitive urge is good.
I had the FA. There wasn't anything on the end. It was
far
like
out.
Yeah, it was It was like that, MG.
They've added the beep in there for effect, but it was not the regular F1.
They've
added the beep in there so as not to offend kids in cars.
That's not the reason.
No, that's a stitch up.
I didn't say it.
Unbelievable.
And I don't swear.
Level of professional. What? There's a level of professionalism that we expect in this room, okay? Mm. Just a note for further down the track. The Dragons did get rolled. It was such a weird game. We spoke to Abby Corrissau before. What does this mean for St. George Illawarra now? Pretending, of course, that the season goes on uninterrupted, they have now lost the first two games, which is incredibly difficult for them. And given the way that Dragons fans do tend to pile on, certainly Paul McGregor has been under intense pressure the past couple of seasons, and there's so much expectation with this team and from their fans. I guess in some ways the coronavirus means that he won't, the pressure in terms of his spot, MG, in the club is lesser.
I think so. I think you're right. I think the fact that Flanagan can't coach until 2022 probably helps Mary as well. But I think you're right. I think the current status of the coronavirus gives Mary a stay of execution no matter what happens, really. I can't see many coaches chopping and changing in this uncertain time, let alone a coach who's been under the pump for a few years. I just can't see it happening. You'd have to, even if you lost five in a row, I can't see someone jumping in there and replacing him in the current status of the uncertainty.
Well, certainly the payout would be something that a club probably wouldn't risk.
There you go.
Yeah. It's not just the uncertainty, but the clubs cannot afford, as it is, without fans going to the games, they're losing a significant amount of money, and the commission have told each club to make savage cuts to their operations. So there's no way clubs can afford to be getting rid of a coach, paying a coach out and then bringing a new one in.
It was such a weird afternoon. Yeah. I mean, after the first 16 minutes, Penrith, and I know there was no crowd there, so that maybe added to the fact it looked like it was a training run, but defensively, I mean, there was absolutely no physicality in their defensive line. I mean, Penrith just ran through them, kept as we spoke to Appy before, really simple game plan, just went forward and then just took it to the edges and scored tries really easily. Appy scored one himself, just dummied and poor defence from dummy half. Matt Dufty just, letting the football bounce, and it looked like by how far. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Isaiah Yeo gets into the clear, has a two-on-one, but can't look to see where he's passing. Dufty goes for the all-or-nothing play, runs 80 metres, and from that moment till about the 67th minute, the Dragons just got a little bit of confidence. We saw, Corey Norman start play down that left side, created some issues. Haven't seen much from Benny Hunt this year so far, so he needs to find a way to get himself involved. But otherwise, they did quite well, the Dragons, to get back into the game. And then how they didn't close that one out, and those two guys that we're talking about now, when it gets to that part of the game and you've worked so hard to get yourself back in front, that's when they need to take hold of the game and close it out. That'll be the most disappointing part about it for the Dragons.
Yeah, I had, as a fan, clocked the 2 points up right next to the asterisks about the season, just to get that clear. But I did have 10 minutes to go.
Like the last couple of seasons have had one, just like that.
Indeed. Mark Gaiji, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today. I'm sure we'll do it very, very soon.
Thank you for having me, and I'll see you soon. See you, boys and girls.
Bye.
There's MG. He's going to be replaced by the great Peter Sterling next on The Scrum.
He's a Warriors.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.